Hello and welcome, everybody. It's Jessica Stewart. It's Monday, June 20th, 2016. I'm here with the October 2015 cohort, and this is Coach the Coach, Practicum 4, Class 2, Group C, because we're the cool kids. And we're going to, have a party today, or something akin to it, I'm sure. So before we get started, I want to do our one-word check-ins just to kind of bring everybody's voice into the room and spirit and kind of check in where we are right now. So, Katrina, do you want to kick us off per usual?
Sure. Good morning. I feel like I'm just waiting.
Waiting. Great. And Rachel?
I feel peaceful.
Hope.
I feel a little apprehensive about coaching with an audience, so I'm,
okay.
You know, that's where I am.
That's like 15 words, but okay.
No, that's great. Apprehensive.
Yeah, I'm just teasing. I'm so glad you're here. So Joanna, do you want to give us your one-word check-in, a single word on how you're doing right now, or sound?
So, my word is pensive.
Pensive?
Yeah, pensive, correct.
Great. Oh. Welcome. So, let's see. Glacelle is not here yet. Dee Dee.
Yes. I'm happy.
Cool.
Joyful.
Two words. That's a big day. Did I miss anybody? Wow, we're really light today. Is something going on? Do you guys know? Is there like a – have you heard from anybody?
I think you kind of nailed it with it's summer and people taking vacation.
Well, hopefully a few more people will trickle in because it's always more fun, I think. Well, Hope is like, yeah, good. I planned it. I told him not to come. So good. So I'm glad you guys are here. I'm glad you're present and accounted for. I wanted to do a quick check-in. Unfortunately, Lisa's not here, but for the rest of you who were, I think you were all here last week, I checked in with Terry about Terry DeMeo, who's, you know, she's gone to the 90 School to work many times, and she's a facilitator for Inquiry Power Hour. And I shared some of the challenges. I mean, I said, you know, the session was great, and then kind of when we got to the turnaround, it felt kind of heavy and off kilter to say my daughter is better than other kids. And she said that, she said, you know, of course, hindsight is always 20/20. It's really easy to go back and say, oh, here's what I would have done. But just for the future, it is really powerful if we tighten up the limiting belief to get it very specific so that when we do the turnaround, so it would have been something like other kids are better than my daughter in regard to the specific situation, in regard to the scholarship, or academically better. So being more specific there would have probably helped us with the turnarounds. And so she said it's totally made sense, this idea. My daughter is better than other kids, you know, and then getting very specific about what that would have meant because we're talking academically or in this, you know, in the realm of this scholarship. So then coming up with it and then to come up with it to the self, I am better than myself, she suggested. You know, so when I believe this, I'm not, you know, my best self. So I'm better than myself when I stop worrying about it, when I focus on what she has achieved, right? So there's all this opportunity to kind of turn it around there. So does that make sense, Rachel?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, I was muted. Yes, it does make sense.
Did you guys talk more about it afterwards? Did you have any further conversations?
You know, we both had sort of a lot going on, so we texted a bit, but we weren't able to connect on the phone. But I felt pretty good about how we had left it. I felt enormously better.
Yeah, and that's how I felt, too, is I felt the shift in you, so I wouldn't have harped on it too much. I think the main thing is sort of, as coaches, moving forward, how could we have shifted it? But the reality is what you just said, is that we could have nailed it perfectly, and you probably would have just been just as relieved in either case. And tell me where I'm wrong, but you got the spirit of what we were trying to do.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. So good. It did. Anything else about that particular session that came up for you or that you wanted to share?
I just thought it was interesting that I felt as cleansed by it, really, is the word I would use, because I had been struggling with it for days, or like 3 days when I was on the line last week, and hadn't, even though I'd been trying to work through it on my own with the work, I'd tried to do the work on it, which I think I mentioned, and it just wasn't, it didn't feel helpful to me, and I think it's just the power of working with another person.
Yeah, that witnessing is really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So, good. Yeah.
I was glad, as a group comment, because I know people are nervous about working in front of the group, but I had decided to just go for it because it was weighing on me so much. And I thought, well, even if I try to do something lighter, it's not going to – I just felt like I was going to sort of be brave and do it. And even though I got, you know, like sad and was crying on the line and everything, I really didn't feel embarrassed. I felt like I wanted to be able to get my breath so I could talk so we could move forward. But, like, you know, knowing that there's people sitting there waiting. But – I didn't feel overly exposed or anything, having done that in front of a group, just as a plug for the group.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing about being a client is you don't need to take care of us as a group. You get to have exactly what you're having in that moment. And so I'm glad you let yourself do that, because ultimately that's just another limiting belief. We don't have to be anywhere. You know?
Right.
And if they do, they'll take care of themselves. They'll do whatever.
Yes, that's so true.
No worries. Great. Well, thank you. So any questions about sort of the turnarounds and what Terry had shared with me about just being more specific about what, you know, exactly what the limiting belief is?
Well, it makes sense. I mean, the moment you say my kid is better than other kids, that's ridiculous. But then when you – every kid is better than another kid at something, right? So the moment you get specific about it, then it doesn't feel – it just opens it up and lightens it up and makes it feel much more reasonable.
Well, and the reality is that there are probably a lot of things that your kid is better at than other kids.
Sure, yeah, like every kid. Like that there's a universalism to that doesn't bother me.
Exactly. Yeah. So – so I think, you know, I think it was good, and I'm glad that she shared that basically, yeah, there wasn't much that she would have tweaked either, so it made me feel better.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Any questions from anybody else?
This is Hope. That was really helpful to hear how you came up with a turnaround for the self, because I couldn't think of one, but I had a really strong sense that the self was important in that session, and Rachel was coaching and Lisa was being coached. Is that correct?
No, I was being coached.
The other way around?
This is Rachel. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was Rachel.
Okay. Sorry. So Lisa was coaching. Okay. So Rachel had said something that I marked when she was talking that I thought would be a fruitful place to go in a future session, which was, my daughter is an extension of me, isn't she? And so in that was my mind mm-hmm. that went off, because I have two daughters of my own, Rachel. And I thought, oh, that would have been a really interesting place to go with the self. So, but I couldn't come up with something for the self for the coaching that was done. So that was really good to hear. Thank you, Jessica.
Yeah, it was actually really helpful, too, to talk through it with Terry, because and she didn't have any context for the call, so it was sort of when she actually had trouble coming up with some of the other turnarounds, like to the self, I was like, oh, good, okay. It wasn't just us.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so I am better than myself. It does. It makes a lot of sense as a turnaround, and it took her a moment because we kind of worked through it a little bit. So anyway, that's that. Aida, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Hi, it's Jessica. Welcome.
Hi. Sorry, I've been sick, and so I apologize. Oh. I haven't been on the call before.
Oh, no worries. I just wanted to welcome you and excuse me. Say hello just to acknowledge you and make sure you knew I knew you were here.
Thank you so much.
Good. I hope you feel better. Goodness me.
Thank you.
All right. So were there any questions from last week about tools, about coaching, anything that you're dying to ask me that I can be of some assistance for you? All right. So, gosh, I got something in my throat. Hold on. Why don't we go ahead and get started? I do need a client. Hope is going to be our coach. And I'm hoping, I didn't even mean that, Hope, but it came out. I'm hoping somebody will volunteer to be a client, please. Even if you're sick, that's fine, too. So who's got something? It can be any square. Because remember, Practicum 4 is any issue, any square. It doesn't have to even be something that you've got fully formed. It could be just be like something's got you hooked. Katrina, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm trying to think of what I could bring up. I mean, I could be the client. I'm just trying to think of what I could. Well, I'll be the client. How about that? I'll just think of something right now.
Perfect. Well, I mean, and remember, you don't have to have something at the top of your head. It could even just be Hope checking it with you and seeing what's going on. So there's always something.
Okay.
So, Hope, just tell me, what role do you want me to take as facilitator?
I think I will ask, I'm good about just breaking and saying, Jessica, I'm not sure what to do next.
Cool.
So why don't we, is that okay? Can I ask for help when I need it?
Yeah, and I'll try not to interrupt unless I feel like I'm really unclear what direction you're taking.
That's fine.
I'll do my best.
That's fine.
Perfect.
Okay.
All right.
Katrina, hello.
Hi.
Good morning, Katrina. It's morning here in Los Angeles, so good morning to you, or good afternoon, wherever you are.
It's the same time as you, so it's still morning.
Okay, well, good morning. We can start by just checking in, and I'd love to hear what's going on with you, and if there are any areas of low satisfaction, feel free to bring them up.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Okay, so as far as my coaching is going, I feel like I've stagnated. Like I haven't gone out of my way to practice a whole lot. So I'm feeling a little bit behind, I guess. But the one good thing I have going on is I have a retreat coming up next month, and it's full, and I feel good about that. And I just felt that was a gift handed to me, and I'm ready for it. In other areas, I just feel slow. Like even last week, I had made what I thought would be a turtle step of stepping up my own yoga practice, but now that makes me feel so much better. But then I got just sort of sick, and I didn't even do that. So I feel like whenever I try to do something, something else comes in and slows me down. Like, why must it be so slow? I feel like I'm not making progress. And it's like, will I ever really get anywhere? I, I feel like I've been sitting in the same spot watching things and people and stuff go by, making progress, doing wonderful things, and I'm just sort of like sitting. And how long must I sit? That's kind of my sort of general feeling at the moment. Because I'm not feeling,
hey.
It's not like, oh. Because I don't feel like I'm being necessarily called or compelled to take a step. That's why I said, I'm waiting at the beginning of class. It's like, I don't know what
right.
I'm waiting for, but I'm waiting. So that's how I feel. And I don't know what to necessarily do about it.
Okay, Katrina, if I understand, are you saying that you're feeling that external circumstances are coming to slow you down and you're waiting for something on the outside to call you to action?
Yes and no. Like, I'm waiting for something internal to call me to action. But, like, even, like, the little what I thought was a turtle step last week of get on my mat more in practice, then I
uh-huh.
didn't even do that because I wasn't feeling well. So, so not necessarily like external things are slowing me down. It's like there's nothing internal that's telling me to move.
Okay, can you say more about that? Maybe tell me about a time when you can remember some kind of internal push helping you to move, or what that feels like when it does.
Yeah, like I know it when I feel it. Like even to say yes to creating this retreat coming up, like it was really scary, but like there was that little kind of tickle in my tummy that said yeah, and so I responded to that. And even like further back in my past, when I felt led to like jump into yoga teacher training, I was terrified, but there was that little sort of draw that said go do that. At the moment, nothing. Like I'm just sort of sitting and waiting for the next prompt, and there isn't one. I mean, again, aside from tending to the retreat, which in that area everything's flowing, so that's not even a concern, but that's not
right.
the only thing I have going on in my life right now, and maybe that's enough, but yeah, so I'm just waiting for the next prompt, and the universe is
okay.
saying, I guess not, no, just sit there for a while. I'm like, all right, well, okay, now what? So
what's wrong with sitting?
Yeah.
You strike me, Katrina, as someone who really trusts your intuition and you know when something's right for you and you feel
mm-hmm.
that tickle in your tummy that says yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll just pose the question, what's wrong with sitting and waiting for that to happen?
Well, everything is wrong. It means I'm not doing anything, and it means I don't know. What if the call never comes? What if you guys all like have these fabulous practices and I'm just still sitting waiting for a prompt and nothing happens? So I guess there's nothing wrong. I just feel like something should be happening by now if nothing is.
Okay, I'm really sorry. My background phone is ringing and it's making a lot of noise, so I think it should stop now.
Okay.
So you said you feel like something should happen. Why should something happen now?
I have no solid answer for that. I guess just because at this point it just seems like I'm ready.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like I'm able to make time for something to happen. I have the support in my life, like there's people around me that, you know, that are encouraging and supportive. And so I guess that's why. But I have no solid answer for that. Like, and it's not even like, I mean, I have been in this situation before where it's just time to wait, I guess. So this isn't even
mm-hmm.
an unfamiliar situation. It's just, I kind of didn't expect it. Like I kind of thought that, you know, jumped into a wonderful program, rah, let's go. And no. Everything says that's it. So I'm sitting.
And you said you're ready for something to happen. Can you say more about what you mean by something to happen? What do you make that mean when you say something to happen?
Well, I want to get a coaching practice going, but I still haven't even really honed in on my niche or who my ideal client is. And I have been coached on that issue. And even in that coaching, the response came back, well, that waiting is okay, that if it's not popping up for you at the moment, chill. But it's that chill part that I'm really resisting.
Okay. And what does it mean to you to chill? What is it about chill that is making you do the shackles on?
Nothing. I just feel like I'm just being so impatient with myself, and I don't know why, because no one else is being impatient with me. It's just me with me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just feel like I should be doing more at this point.
Okay.
But I'm the only one putting that pressure on myself.
Uh-huh. What is the more that you feel you should be doing, Katrina?
That's just it. I don't know exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost... like, it almost makes me teary. And, like, why? I'm not really wanting to be in this place of waiting. I want to be more doing.
Mm-hmm. Katrina, I have a hunch, and please tell me where I'm wrong, but I have a hunch that you have an expectation for yourself of where you should be now in some kind of trajectory, and part of the impatience is coming from feeling like you haven't achieved whatever that state is right now where you think you should be. Is there a place, is there something in your mind, some place where you feel you should be that you haven't achieved yet?
Again, there's no specific place, but I almost always feel like I haven't achieved enough. That's kind of like an ongoing thing that I always have somewhere going on in me.
Mm-hmm.
So that part is true, and it's nothing new. But again, there's I don't have any point. Like, I have no particular thing that I feel like, oh, I should have that by now. Even that's informed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quite sure what to do.
I'm looking at what you said I should be doing more at this point, because that seems to be maybe getting in the way of you feeling like the waiting is, okay, or that waiting's not okay because you should be doing more at this point. Is it that you should be doing something different or something more or something larger or something? What's that something? I'm trying to get at that with you.
Yeah, I know. And it's not something different. I mean, it's not the sense that I should be off in any other direction but this one.
Uh-huh.
A sense that something within my already realm that I haven't hit on or touched or jumped into or extracted or something.
Right. Okay. I'm going to just do a little detour. Can you tell me a little bit about the retreat that you have coming up? Because there's a lot of energy in your voice when you talked about that. That sounded like something really positive and exciting for you. Tell me where I'm wrong, but that sounded like something that... I mean, you've got a full retreat, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit more about that and that, what
about
that experience has been like
about the retreat? The retreat itself, or the experience of creating
the retreat
or
itself? Both, either, whichever you'd like to share.
Okay. Well, it's going to be in Sedona, Arizona, which if you're familiar with, it's about an hour and a half north of Santa Cruz. Big red rocks, beautiful, picturesque, very sort of, it's got this new agey vibe. It's kind of like, you know, people make fun of it because it's like there's a psychic on every corner and there's vortexes where you can go and you have your chakras realigned or whatever, you know, cool stuff like that. So my theme for the retreat is inquire within. And there's going to be different types of for different types of meditation. And there's going to be a walking meditation and a guided. There's different ways to, you know, meditate as you're journaling. I'll have a massage therapist up there. What else did I have on there? We're going to do some dream analysis. And also just spend time on the pool. It's meant to be relaxing and to help people listen to their inner voice. Which apparently I'm not doing. and it came about because a friend of mine is going to handle all the food, and she, this other friend of mine, the other teacher friend, has been holding retreats there like for the past couple years, and she said it's a great location. She has an inn with the owner of the property, and she's like, "You want to hold a retreat here?" And she said, "I'll cook for you, and you can do everything else." I'm like, heck yeah. So as scary as it was to say yes, I couldn't say no because, like, why would I say no? And so that's how that came about. And then people just, I told some people about it, and the next thing I knew, people were signing up and then into the go. So that's how that happened.
Okay. Okay, so are you feeling with the retreat that you should be doing more at this point with the retreat, or is that an area where you feel like
no? That all I have to do is come up with the content, and that's the part that to me is just fun. And I'm going to sit down this week and map it all out, and that is just that's not any part of what I consider to be my issue. So that part is just sort of flowing. Because I have so many ideas that I'll just be sort of honing it in and kind of sensing the flow of the weekend, you know, to plug things in, to plug the activities in. and I'll probably have leftover stuff to do because it's only a weekend, you know. So that's the part that, I mean, that's how I know that what it feels like to sort of be in that place where this is what's prompting me and this is my response.
Right.
And so that's how I know that I'm so bereft in other areas of my life because of my experience of that.
So I'm going to interject, just looking at the time, and I just want to check in with you, Hope. Can we do a quick coffee talk?
Sure, let's go ahead.
I'm just curious, what do you think is going on for your client?
Well, where I would probably go next is to try to help her identify what it is about planning the retreat that is shackles off for her and how she might be able to bring that into other parts of her expectations for herself. She says she feels she should be doing more, but she's not doing nothing. I mean, she's planned a whole retreat and has got this going, and if there's to help her identify what it is about that planning, not just the retreat itself, but which parts of it she might be able to bring into the other areas of her life to help her feel that she's being more effective, maybe. That's probably where I'm going. That's why I asked her about the retreat.
Yeah, and I would just say that you could even be more transparent about what you're thinking and where you're going, because it will probably, in the end, save you some time. Because I could feel you kind of going there, and I'm thinking there's been a couple of places where you could totally have just been like, so here's my hunch. This is what I think. I'm going to be TAO. And I'm nitpicking here. I think you've done a beautiful job. I also wanted to share that there's a couple of things, too, that I think are happening here for Katrina. And, Katrina, you don't have to pretend like you can't hear me.
<That's>
I think you have a mind habit. because mm-hmm. you said I always have this feeling, which is you have this little dysfunctional pattern that you go through between your mind and your emotions where you get hooked. Like, this is a feeling that you feel like you need to respond to. And so when this feeling comes up based on this thought, I should be doing more, I'm not listening to my inner voice, I need to do more. And I could watch that happening with Hope because she kept asking you these really beautiful questions, and every answer was like, oh, I don't know. And then when you said, I always have this feeling, I thought, oh, this is a habit for you. This is a feeling that you get, and I say this with full confidence because I have this. When you hear it, you feel like you have to do something about it. Does that resonate at all? Tell me where I'm wrong.
No, I think it does. But explain it to me one more time.
So, you know, when we think a thought a lot, we form a rut in our brain, and we form this strong, we myelinate the neural sheath to the point where it becomes like a thought we go back to over and over again because it's the strongest thought. It's the one we visit the most.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing this little karmic cycle that you've created where it's you think this thought, it creates this feeling creates this action, and then you go right back into it, and it's just a little cycle that you keep going. I should be doing more. What more should I be doing? I don't know. I don't know what to do.
So, that sounds like me. What is the thought that you identified that you think that that's the one I'm latching on to?
So Hope, let me go back to Hope. So do you see what I'm talking about, how your client is sort of hitting this? Do you know what I'm talking about, Hope?
Absolutely, and I think, you know, I always have this feeling can be a flag for a coach because that gives us insight into a pattern, a behavior pattern.
Yes, yeah, and you were right. The reason I interrupted is because you're sitting right on top of a pattern, and what I wanted to do is call it out to you because rather than going in and trying to work through the pattern from the place of like, oh, well, I'm going to point out that she already has done a lot, and how can we recapture that feeling? I actually want to show you how to break the cycle. Because this habit is creating the quote, stuckness. That's why I paused right where we were, is before we got back into the sort of reinforcing the feeling, I wanted to break the cycle. So I believe, Katrina, that the thought is, so the feeling is the one that you're feeling right now. The feeling that triggers the thought, I believe, is I should be doing more, but it's probably a whole host of others.
Yeah.
And you could hear, Hope, I could hear you. I mean, you had all these great moments. You're like, what does that feel like? So I'm waiting for something internal, you know, a call to action, and nothing internal is happening. Hope nailed you. She's like, what does that feel like? Because that's when we know. I'm not feeling it. So when you're not feeling inspiration, some little part of you, this is my hunch, so tell me where I'm wrong, some little part of you gets triggered and sends you into this cycle of, oh, I feel this way again. This must mean that I'm not doing enough.
Yeah.
I feel slow. Every time I make progress, something comes in, the universe comes in and tries to slow me down. And I start thinking, will I ever get anywhere? What if the call never comes? I feel like something should happen. Nothing is happening. This is what your brain does.
Yeah.
That's the cycle. Okay. Tell me where I'm wrong, please.
Yeah. That's me.
Okay. So Hope, I wanted to share that with you because when we have a client who has such a strong mind habit, my suggestion, and you can tell me where I'm wrong for you as a coach too, but my suggestion is to help identify that pattern and help kind of address the discomfort of being in this liminal space. Because Okay. And I could hear you doing this, and you said this, is something is happening. She's doing a lot. The problem isn't whether she's doing anything. It's that she's believing this feeling, like I'm not doing enough. So does that make sense, Hope? Go ahead. Sorry.
It does. My question, which I think you might have just answered, my question is when I see that pattern, I feel like I'm at a coach standing at a crossroads, and I can either
yeah. –
And I can go in both directions. I just didn't want, you know, I'm just not always sure which one to go to first. I can go in the direction of helping them identify and potentially break that cycle, or I can go in the direction of helping them identify and feel okay with not doing more all the time, or I can help them identify what does inspire them and how see, and try to help them see how to bring that into their everyday lives. I saw like two opportunities there, and I didn't know which way to go. And I started going for the latter to identify the source
great.
Of inspiration. But now I hear that it could be really fruitful and helpful on a larger sense to go the other way first and try to help her address the discomfort and figure out what's going on there and how to be okay with not doing more all the time.
Yeah, and that's why I paused, is because we were at the crossroads. And I wanted to be very explicit, not because you were doing anything wrong, but because I think that is the opportunity where you can be very transparent with your client,
okay.
very open with her, and tell her what you're seeing, which is, I think this is a habit or a cycle or, you know, whatever your language is for it. And
mm-hmm.
you can still turn in the direction of identifying what does inspire her. My suggestion
mm-hmm.
is doing it with the full transparency of why it's important to start shifting the cycle. Because if our clients, it's sort of like, I want her to be on to herself next time. Because this feeling is a habit. So let me, is it okay for, I just want to share a personal experience with it. Is that okay, Katrina?
Yeah.
So, when I worked in corporate America, I was miserable. And I was so skilled at being miserable that it was a constant story that I told myself of, I'm miserable, I'm depressed, I'm not in the right place, I shouldn't be doing this. And the problem was is that it became such a, this mind habit, it became such a habit, such a cycle for me. That even when I had made huge, like, you know, I was in master coach training, my entire life was shifting, I kept hitting this place of feeling that I was unhappy. I'm not fulfilled. I don't feel fulfilled. I'm not happy. And I realized when I started poking around, none of it was true. It was the fact that my story was so comforting to me. That it stayed with me long beyond its sort of applicability or benefit. Because it was good because it helped me get out of, it was beneficial at one point. But one day, I was like, oh, I'm so depressed. And I was like, no, you're not. You're not depressed. I was like, I'm not. This is literally happening in my head. Not. And I poked around and I felt, it's like kind of like feeling around for a tooth that's not there anymore. It's like I was so used to worrying at that belief, the depression, that I'm not moving in the right direction, I'm not doing enough, that when I recognized that I had made this like a comfort blanket, like a blanket, a security blanket, it's like, oh, I don't need this anymore. So that's what I think that's where you are right now is, because everything you've said to me so far is, I don't need this anymore. And then Hope took you down and down a path that showed you, look at all of the amazing things. You've created this amazing retreat. You're totally on your hot track. Why are you still telling yourself a story? I don't mean that as a diss. I mean that as I think it brings you some level. It's like comforting to you. Oh, here's that feeling again. I know what to do with this feeling. I worry. I wonder. I doubt. What if the call never comes? Scandal. What if I never figure it out? Betrayal. Right? It's like Oh, it's very addictive.
Hmm.
So Hope, I think, and that's a lot more exposition than I would ever give a client normally. Well, maybe not. Who knows? But I share that with you because I think you were sitting right on top of it, and I just wanted you to see that you were sitting on top of it and give you permission to tell your client what she's doing, what you think she's doing.
Okay. That's great. Thank you. I also see the opportunity for so many good tools here. We could also go into the, you know, once we really drill down and get the limiting beliefs, it seems like we could do the, I'm having this thought that I should be doing more. I notice I'm having this thought I should be doing more. We can also, you know, if we had several sessions, look at what's on her to-do list and do the three B's, which my clients love. The, you know,
better it, barter it. Here's the thing about action, though. So here's the other point I want to make for you, Hope, is that you're going to get clients who are in what I call the liminal space, and it's the threshold between square two and square three. It's actually between sort of all the different squares. When they're in the liminal space, it is when the water is getting ready to boil. Something is happening.
Okay.
Science is happening. Cells are changing. Our job is not to push them into square three. Our job is to help them learn how to be comfortable in the uncomfortable place of the liminal space. Sometimes it's like, oh, shut up, just do something already. Not that I've ever said that. So that's where I just want you to be cautious about. Do I have an agenda here? Am I trying to get my client into square three? When in fact she really just needs to be in this liminal space because everything in the universe is telling her, wait.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I
think. Okay, so we see Katrina right now in square two wanting to leap into square three and wanting to move faster than the process is happening.
Yep.
Is that what you're feeling? Because I was feeling kind of like she was into, and three is starting to happen, but she wishes it would happen faster.
Yeah. I mean, and that to me is still sort of like she's moved beyond sort of the dead center of the liminal space, that threshold, and she can see there's
right.
a door on the other side, and she's like, oh, I just can't quite reach it. Oh, my God, somebody give me a push. And every time somebody tries to push her, it could be her, whatever, Katrina, sorry. It's like, nope, don't touch that door. Nope, don't touch that door. Nope, hot. Nope, don't touch it. She's like, reach, don't. And rather than being like, oh, maybe I shouldn't touch the door, and I'm going to trust that I'm going to be able to reach the door when the door is ready to open, it's like, is it ready? How about now? Is it good?
Yeah.
And so that's the feeling I got when you guys were talking. And so I'm more of inclined to stick with what you were talking about, which is sort of the breaking the cycle. You can still talk about identifying ways to inspire. Like, how can you be more – really, the truth is, this is what I just want to know, is how can you learn how to be more comfortable in this in-between space? And I don't even – that's just a question I would ask my client. How can we help you be more comfortable here? What do you think, Hope?
I think that sounds great. That's enormously helpful to think of it that way and frame it in, you know, and it, you know, it's so short. We only have, you know, about 20 minutes. So
sure.
It would be
great job.
You know, over like three sessions or six sessions, I could see that Katrina could do terrific work around these issues. It would be really exciting to watch it happen. Not that
well,
she
maybe
has to get somewhere at the end of three or six sessions, but I just feel like it's a terrific space to be in for the tools that we use and what we do.
Well, what if at the end of the next session, and maybe you guys will have, I don't know if, you know, I don't want to get in your business, but maybe you'll have an opportunity to talk again to figure out kind of how to get comfortable with the liminal space, how to break this pattern and this habit. It's like, what if you just, at the end of it, she's like, oh, you know what? I totally see where I'm doing it. And here's what I've been doing since I, you know, you helped me get onto myself. And I'm really loving kind of being where I am. like, to me, that's like success, score. Sometimes.
Totally. That's just.
Yeah. So I'm thinking you might get that pretty quickly if you guys talk again. That's my point. So let me just check in with Katrina. How are you doing? Since I hijacked and interrupted right in the crossword.
No, I'm good. I think everything you said resonates. And especially the part about just helping me be comfortable with this liminal space. And again, the concept is familiar. It's like I get the concept and I haven't been doing it. So I like that, and I do feel like that is what I need. And it's kind of fun listening to someone talk about you like you're not there. I think it's cool. I wish I could have that all
fun.
The time.
I know. I kind of love it too. It's kind of my favorite thing. That's why I love Coach the Coach, is when I'm the client, someone's talking about me, I'm like,
everything you said makes sense. That,
cool. So I would love, if Hope's up for it, if you're up for it, and it doesn't have to be between now and our next session, it can be another time, I would actually love for you guys to maybe jump on the phone and maybe talk a little bit more about getting more comfortable with the liminal space or working on really identifying this habit. Like, and I hope I'll leave it up to you to decide how to facilitate the conversation, certainly, and you, Katrina, as the client. Is like maybe even just like outlining what is exactly this pattern, where is it showing up in my life, and how can I hang out and be aware of it and not be it and not have my life ruled by it. It could go either way. I mean, I don't want to tell you what to do, even though, you know, I tend to do that. So good Katrina, good insight, thank you so much. I'm glad that helped. And how is that for you, Hope?
That was great. You know, it was great. I felt like we were just warming up, but we were at least.
Yeah, you were.
I felt, like she was opening up and going deeper and becoming more, she's doing more self-exploration. And, you know, that's sort of what you hope for in 20 minutes or 30 minutes, that you know, that
yeah.
It just starts opening up a little bit, right? So, Katrina, I'd love to work with you. If you want, we can email. If you want to continue, I'd be happy to. Do that with you.
Yeah. I'd love that. Thank you. Yes.
Awesome. Thanks. Good. Yeah, I would. I agree. Yeah, you know, when I'm watching the clock, which is part of the reason I have to interrupt, is just so that we have time to kind of wrap up and work on some of the things. I just want to say, you know, you did. I love that you kept switching. I felt like you were on going down a mountain. And I felt you switching back. I felt you were like being really zen and part of the mountain. I never felt any nerves. I never felt it. You asked so many great questions. Because I was watching you. Just when I was kind of like, here's a question that I would ask, you would immediately ask that question. So it was very exciting to kind of be vibing with you quietly. Like, how, you know, I slow down. Will I ever get anywhere? How long must I just sit here? Nothing's happening, and you're like, you know, I know when something internal calls me to action, and you're like, well, what does that feel like? I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, okay, well, how do you know the difference, right? So you're starting to parse out some of the pattern. I'm waiting for the next prompt. It isn't happening. Now what? And you're like, well, why is this a problem? Mm-hmm. Great question. So the universe isn't giving you your next prompt. Why is this causing you so much suffering? You know, what's wrong with sitting and waiting for it to happen? Was a great question. I feel like something should happen. Why? Another great question, right? You just kept going in and going in. And the reason I kind of stopped you where I did, too, is because when you're working with a client and the issue is as sort of non-specific and vague as it was for Katrina, because she's like, I don't know, you know, it's just like it's a feeling. Usually it means that it's just this general discomfort with the in-between. Something should be happening, and it's not. It's like, okay, well, there's probably a reason it's not happening. And you were poking around really great. I mean, you were doing great poking. You're like the dentist in there, like, does this hurt? And it's like, maybe it just feels weird, and you need to learn how to kind of live with it feeling weird. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you asked lots of great questions. So thank you. Thank you for a great session.
Thank you, Jessica. You know, I find that my favorite tool to use with clients, and the most effective by far, is just why is that a problem, and what are you making that mean? I just sit there and
say that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
For a whole hour.
Well,
breakthroughs. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is really powerful, and I think that ultimately it's I like that you took a detour and kind of, because I was also curious, like, oh, well, she had this retreat, and so why was that working for her? But I also was, my biggest hunch was like, oh, she's just, you know, Katrina, you've convinced yourself that you shouldn't feel this way.
And Jessica, and, now that you've parroted back some of my words, I can totally see why you would have gotten that from me. It's like, why couldn't I see that in myself when I was listening to you say what I said?
Well, that's because I'm a coach, and I'm a coach, and I'm coaching you through hope. But that's why coaching is so powerful, is we become a mirror for people to see reflected. But we tell the truth. We don't see sort of all of the, oh, what if I never figure it out? Because I totally believe that you will figure it out. You will have a niche, you won't have a niche. You will be successful regardless. Whatever you do is going to be great. I just believe that. I'm not in your story.
Yeah.
That's the beauty. That's why when we hit a blind spot, it can be so grinding and painful. It's because we're believing our client's story.
Yeah.
You know what? Hope and I don't have your story, so. we're not in pain. So one thing I also wanted to point out, Hope, that I thought was really funny, and this is something that, Katrina, you were beating yourself up on. I'm not listening to my inner voice. I would just stop right there. Is that true? Sure sounds like you are. You just don't trust your inner voice.
Yeah.
Two very different things. So, awesome.
Yeah.
Very nice job, ladies.
Thank you. Thank you, Hope. Thank you. Thank you, Jessica.
Sure. Thank you, Katrina.
I can't wait to hear. I can't wait to hear what happens next. It's like, oh, it's like my favorite soap opera. I'm like, oh, I have to wait to find out what happens. It kills me. So good. Any questions from anybody else? Dee Dee, you had some feedback on your line, so I had to mute you. So if you're talking, it's 4-star. Just so you know. All right, cool. So we're going to move on, except I need a coach and I need a client and I need one bad. And that is true. Nobody try and coach me out of it. So who would like to coach next? I hope that was relatively painless, right?
Oh, yeah, that was really nice. Thank you.
See?
Totally
so
painless.
Totally painless. Thank you. So I'd love to hear who would like to go next. And it can be someone who coached last week, because we don't have a huge class today. So, and Katrina, you're welcome to coach if you want. You can do that too. I will sit here for the next 30 minutes.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello. Hi,
yes.
This is Joanna. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, I would love to be the client if possible.
Great. So we have a client. Who's going to be our coach? I am suddenly reminded why I always solicit before class. So we've got Dee Dee, Rachel, Katrina, Aida's not feeling well, and Adrian, you're also on the line. Who would like to coach Joanna?
I can coach Joanna.
Yay! My hero. It's always funny because people are like, oh, I just talked. I don't want, people aren't going to want to hear me again. Yeah, I do. I want to hear you. So, what role would you like me to play for you, Katrina?
Jump in as often as you feel as you want to.
Is that because you don't trust yourself or what?
No, it's because your insights in particular, your insights just help me a lot.
Cool. All right, good.
Yeah.
Awesome. And then, Joanna, your internet's okay?
I hope so, if you can hear me.
I can. You sound great and nice and clear. So perfect. So, Katrina, it's up to you. Take it away.
Okay. Hi, Joanna. How are you?
Hi, Katrina. I am very pensive today.
You're very pensive today. I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So talk to me about what is making you pensive or anything else that you'd like to share.
So right now I am really trying my best to go out there and coach as often as possible. And like a few weeks ago I had a lot of interest and now I still feel as though I feel as though all the interest has kind of dried up, mm-hmm. and I don't have as many clients right now. I don't have as many appointments, and I'm starting to wonder if it's, you know, just something that happens or if it's, you know, my internal thoughts that are kind of turning away clients, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, okay, say that last part again.
I'm not sure if it's that, you know, if it's just normal that clients are, you know, not around right now, or if it's my mind, my lizard that is acting up and kind of affecting how things are happening right now.
Got it. Well, could it be a little of both?
Mm-hmm. It is possible. I just feel like I'm not sure what my next step is.
Okay. So what did you do when you had the clients, when you had them before, what did you do to get their attention, to get them to agree to be coached by you?
Actually, nothing. I just spoke to a couple people and told them what I was doing. But other than that, nothing really. It just took off on its own from word of mouth. And now that I am doing Facebook posts and I'm sending out emails,
mm-hmm.
The interest is even less than before, which to me is kind of strange. I don't know.
Now the interest is less than before and you feel like you're doing more than you did before. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, correct. Yes, absolutely correct.
Okay. See, I'm already okay, Jessica.
Yeah, it's fine. Just talk it through with me, Joanna. We're just going to be talking about you.
Yeah.
Sure.
So what do you,
no problem.
What do you think's going on with your client?
Well, she tried something that worked. She tried other things that didn't work. And so she either needs to keep doing the things that did or didn't work or find something else to do to get people's attention.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting because I will say, Joanna, this is actually a time, I'm just going to speak very practically. This is actually a time when for some demographics, depending on who you coach, as we enter into summer and people are planning vacations and people have kids or thinking about what camps their kids are going to go to and school's wrapping up and, you know, this can be, again, we're in this liminal period, right? There's this transitional period. And so sometimes this can be that. And so I liked, Katrina, when you were like, maybe some of it's normal and some of it is your beliefs. So I will share that some of it is just normal. This is a time when I'll often do program planning and development rather than launching or, you know, I'll just have a lot of clients cancel around this time as well. But I think for you, Katrina, sorry, Joanna. So I think for you, Katrina, it's really, so she wants to know what's my next step. You asked, what did you do before? I loved that it was like, well, nothing. And then it's like, then the truth came out. Well, that's not true. I mean, I spoke to people, and my business took off via word of mouth. So that was your client's last hot track. Are you familiar with the sort of the tracking metaphor?
Yeah.
It's your last hot track. And it's like, okay, well, now I'm going to try some different things. So I'm emailing and I'm Facebooking. And there's less interest than before, but I'm doing more work.
Right. And I kind of feel like this is too close to me. So it's all, okay, so I'm already, like, little notes in my head have gone off to where this sounds like something I would say. So now I'm thinking, how in the world am I going to, I got stuck because I get to hear myself in what she was saying. And it sort of stopped me.
You just got coached. Well, you just got coached about it, so it's good.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly.
Yeah. So here's what I'm curious about with Joanna is why is she doing more? What is she trying to build? I'm not clear on the picture. Like, I'm not really clear on where we're trying to get to. And so I might ask some questions, clarifying questions around, well, you know, Joanna, tell me what you're trying to build. Tell me what it is that you, where do you want to be? Because what we're looking for now is there, because that was her request, is, am I carrying some limiting belief here? Or am I, is my lizard getting the best of me that is creating some level of friction that's slowing me down?
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different than you. So that's, I don't think we're clear on where our client is trying, at least I'm not, you might know. I don't know where my client is trying to get to, so I don't know how to help her get there.
Okay.
So poke around there a little bit, you know, ask some thoughtful questions, get some clarity around what it is, and then maybe you'll start to see what's really going on. Sound good?
Okay, I'll try that.
All right. Thanks for your patience, Joanna. Appreciate it.
Okay. All right, Joanna. Can you share with me what you'd like your practice to look like? What would you like your day to look like? Who do you want to be spending your time with in coaching sessions?
Okay. My ideal situation as a coach would be to coach women in various areas. Yeah, women.
Okay.
I would like to have a full-time practice and help women between the ages of like 23 and 43, help them figure out what their life purpose is and to help them figure out what their next step is in life. That was always the plan, but recently I did a couple programs with a volunteer organization, and I realize now that I will also like to include an arm of my business, of my coaching business, that includes helping teenage girls you know, figure out what they want to do with their life. Because I think that if we help them at a younger age, they will be able to become better leaders and better decision makers, you know, that kind of thing. And basically my aim is to be able to do this full time. That's really my goal. I love helping people. The clients that I've worked with so far, they have been absolutely fantastic, and they always give good feedback. And when I say good, I don't just mean, you know, good as in positive, but constructive feedback, I should say. And I enjoy it. I love the process, and I really think this is something that I want to do for the rest of my life.
Okay. So in the feedback that you've received, what has anything surprised you, or did anything, what was the most interesting part of the feedback that you've been receiving?
Two main things that came out of the feedback. One, people are always so amazed at how I am able to poke around, you know, in their situation, and they always feel as though they get something out of it.
Yeah.
You know, they always learn something more about themselves after the session. The next thing is people often tell me that they love my approach to coaching them. Yeah. And they always have really good things to say about me, which to some extent I don't believe, and I think that they're just trying to be nice, you know what I mean? But, yeah, those are like the main two things that I get coming back every time.
Okay. All right. So the part that you don't believe, do you think that might be lizard talking?
Possible.
I'd like to switch back to a minute when you started talking about the teenage girls. You had a nice brightness in your voice when you started that. So in the last round of emails and what and stuff that you've been doing, have those been aimed at this teenage girl population that you just mentioned?
Sorry, I didn't hear everything that you said. Can you repeat that part?
When you said a few statements back that you had sent out some emails and working through Facebook to attract more clients, was that aimed at this teenage girl demographic that you mentioned, or was that more at the women that you said before?
Oh, no, it did not target teenage girls. It only targeted adults.
Okay. So since you mentioned the teenage girls, and there was a nice lift in your voice when you talked about it, have you considered ways that you could reach out to that particular demographic of the teenage girls?
Yes, I have, but I haven't done anything about it. I've only, you know, scribbled on paper what I could possibly do. So I've thought about it, but I haven't actually done anything about it.
Okay. Does anything call to you? Is there anything that you could think of reaching out that makes you feel intrigued or incited or excited or curious that would make you want to go that direction next?
It does make me curious because I am thinking about how it would have been for me had I gotten that sort of coaching as a teenager, what my life could have been like, meaning I could have achieved things faster. Probably, and I would love to give other girls that kind of foundation
and, you know, really wonder about their possibility. What can they do if they get, you know, the help that they need to make good decisions, integrity-based decisions?
Yeah.
So I'm going to pause. I'm going to pause again.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a little bit more information. So what do you think is going on for your client now?
Well, she knows how beneficial coaching is. She's had some good feedback from people. I think she has a sense that her fears are keeping her from reaching out again. I'm not quite sure what exactly to do next, but I like the energy in her voice when she talks about reaching out to the teenage girls.
Cool. Yeah, so here's what I would probably do, and I'm just going to talk with you directly, Joanna, if that's okay with you, Katrina.
Mm-hmm, that's fine.
So why did you decide that you needed to take a different approach to marketing than what you had been doing originally? I'm just curious. Not that there's any right or wrong. I'm just curious.
Because that is what I saw everybody doing.
Got it. So everybody else is doing it, so I should probably do it too. Cool. So if you,
Correct. So
is that part of kind of the challenge for you here is that you're kind of looking around at your peers, you're looking at the landscape, seeing what other people are doing, and seeing marketing tactics and plans and approaches that look interesting, but they're not paying off for you. And so is that kind of got you? Is that have you worried? Like what's really going on for you when you? When you think about
mm-hmm.
this issue.
Okay. Well, for me, I never really liked marketing and mm-hmm. selling when it came to me. When I was in
Got
a corporate
it.
Environment, I could sell ice and Eskimo. That's not an issue. But when it comes to myself, when it comes to myself and selling my abilities and selling me as a brand, I always feel shackles on. It has gotten better. I feel a little better about it, but I really don't feel great about it. I would rather talk to somebody one-on-one or talk to a very small group of people rather than market myself on Facebook or send out newsletters and all these things that you see on Instagram and Twitter. And now I found myself signing up for all these social media platforms. And even though I'm doing it, I know I'm doing it lackluster. I know I'm not really interested.
So, Katrina, do you hear the problem?
Mm-hmm. I do. I do. Okay, Joanna. So now you just realized that you're not all like, excited about the marketing path that you had taken with the way that you're doing that. So why can't you go back to the method that did get you kind of excited and happy?
Sorry, if I can go back to?
So what worked before when you were just talking to people?
Oh wow, I think now my internet decides to give trouble. If you're asking me if I should go back to what I was doing before, is that
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. Just talking to people, like you said, one-on-one.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I could do that. It's just that I keep thinking if I do that, my business is not going to grow fast enough.
Oh. Is that
so
true?
Hold on. So let's get this down. So if I market myself
mm-hmm.
the way that feels good, that feels authentic,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I will not be able to grow my business fast enough. Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm. Yes, correct.
Okay. So, there yeah. you go, Katrina.
So, but however, when you did it the first time, you did have clients from it.
Well, hold on.
Is that
true?
Oh.
that's advice, or that's not advice. That's anyway. So if I market myself the way that feels authentic, I will not be able to grow my business fast enough. Is that true?
Yeah.
Is that a no?
Yeah.
I like how you really sat with it too and thought about it. So no. So do you feel comfortable enough with the work to work her through this, Katrina?
I'm not entirely comfortable with the work, but if you're willing to help me and be there, I would talk her through it.
Okay. So we don't have a lot of time, so kind of being mindful of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Spend a little bit of time noticing, taking her into that second, the third question. And really spend mm-hmm. a bit of time, because I think, Joanna, I think that's where the trouble lies, if you will. So mm-hmm. do you remember the third question?
So the statement is, if you market in a way that feels authentic and true, that you will not grow your business fast enough. Did I get that right? Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Joanna. So how do you react? What happens? How do you feel when you believe that thought?
I become very anxious.
Mm-hmm.
And worried.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
I also feel like I would not be able to help as many people as I could.
Anything else?
No. Mm-mm.
How do you treat yourself? When you believe that thought, that if you market in a way that it's
I chastise myself.
You chastise yourself.
Yeah, I chastise myself in that I say to myself, why can't you just, you know, use social media like everybody else. It's not a big deal. I even spend like most of my time writing in my workbook, as I call it. I have a book that I write all my business ideas and workshop ideas in. I spend most of my time in that. And, you know, don't even leave time for me to read recreationally, which I feel like I'm missing. You know, I love to read otherwise, and I haven't really been giving myself the opportunity to do that.
Anything else? Do you want to go to the next question? Who would you be
without the thought, without that thought, that if I am authentic and true in my marketing, my business won't grow fast enough. Who would you be if you could not have that thought? If your brain could not have that thought, who would you be?
I would be really relaxed. Mm-hmm. I would be happier. I would just go out and talk to people more. Mm-hmm. And maybe I would be even a better coach.
Mm. Very good. Okay.
And I just thought of one.
Mm-hmm.
And I may actually believe when people compliment me about the way I coach.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, there is a correlation between me being a good coach and how many clients I have.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see that before. That is interesting.
Good. Okay. Anything else? Who would you be without this thought?
No, that's it mainly.
Okay. Do you feel like turning it around? Okay. Do you want to turn it around, Joanna? Anything
Do a turn around?
Yeah. So the original statement.
Might I share? Joanna, is it okay if I share?
Sure.
Because I'm just looking at
sure.
the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So sure. Here's what I'd suggest. If I don't market myself the way that feels authentic, I will not be able to grow my business fast enough. Does that feel as truer than the original belief?
It feels truer by a little bit.
Well, as true or true, I'll take both. So can you create evidence?
Yes.
What are some examples of how that is as true or truer?
Right now, even though I have the Facebook account and the Twitter account and all of these things, I rarely go on it. I spend time going on it without putting anything meaningful out because I feel, you know, shackled on about the whole process, and that's kind of wasting time. You know, I could be out there reaching people in an authentic way.
Yep. Give another one.
Authenticity is what is most important when it comes to coaching. And I feel as though one-on-one would make a bigger impact than seeing me on social media.
Cool. How about a third?
A third.
If I don't market myself the way that feels authentic, I will not be able to grow my business fast enough.
I can't think of another.
Katrina, do you have anything?
No, I was listening to her answers. No.
That's okay. So I'm just looking at the time, and I don't want to keep you guys too late, so I just want to wrap up a little bit. So what I would normally like to do is, so when I believe the so Joanna, when you believe the thought, if I market myself the ways that feels authentic, I will not be able to grow my business fast enough. When you believe that thought, you feel anxious, worried. You feel that you would not be able to help as many people as you could. You chastise yourself. You ask yourself, why can't I just use social media like everybody else? Without that thought, you feel relaxed, happier, even like a better coach. And you may actually believe people when they tell you that they like the way you coach. So the turnaround that we came up with is, if I don't market myself the way that feels authentic, I will not be able to grow my business fast enough. And so what happens is that when you're not marketing yourself authentically, using actual tools that feel authentic, you rarely go out on social media, you feel shackles on, and you realize you could be reaching people in, you know, the ways that do feel authentic. And also that authenticity in coaching is ultimately the most important thing. So do you see any reason to keep that thought?
No.
Okay. So here's what I'd like to do just to wrap up with you, Joanna, is I'd love for you to go back to what feels authentic. And what might that look like for you? So what's a way that you can kind of move back into doing more authentic marketing? Because we're not talking about selling. Mm-hmm. We're talking about marketing. What I mean by that is marketing is telling people what you do over and over again in a variety of different ways.
Right.
So what are some things you can do that feel authentic and not don't involve social media?
I've been toying with the idea of going out to different associations that has like monthly meetings and just doing like an education drive almost, telling people what coaching is, how it can benefit them, and just, you know, answer a few questions that will make them feel more comfortable with the process.
Awesome. So how does that feel? Does that feel authentic for you?
It does.
Yay! So what's the next step, one small step that you can take towards doing that kind of authentic marketing?
I can call a couple contacts that I have and, you know, ask them for like 15 minutes of their monthly meeting to have that kind of conversation with them.
Perfect. So what I'd love to do next is, Katrina, if you and Joanna have some time, I'd love for you to kind of guide her through the turtle steps of this next step. So her first thing is she's going to identify some folks. Then what happens? Then what happens? Then what happens? Would that be okay for you, Joanna and Katrina, to kind of create a little accountability for each other? Great.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, so being mindful of time, I do apologize. We're going to go over a little bit. But so how was that for you, Joanna?
It was good for me. I was able to understand certain things that I did not before and finally make connections in areas that I didn't see were connected at all before. So it was really good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Katrina, as well. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, Katrina, how was that for you?
It wasn't horrible. It was kind of fun. This is actually kind of scary. I enjoyed it, and it was, I,
it was really cool that when you, Jessica, like, when you, like, went down the thread, I'm like, oh, yeah, totally. I totally could have got that. So, no, I liked how it all wrapped up. And it was just really interesting to watch and listen to. And I'm glad I said yes, even though
I didn't want to, I know. I think ultimately it's just watching yourself when you get into your own stories. It's like, oh, my God, this is my blind spot. I can't do this.
Yeah.
The reality is that, you know, I coach people in my blind spot all the time. And the key is, you know, it's a feeling when I know I'm hitting a blind spot is I start to believe their story and I start to want to get into advice. Have you tried this? How about this? How about this? Would you like to do this? Now, some of what I do in my job is give advice because I'm a marketing expert. So I think about, you know, if Joanna came to me as a client, there would be a combination of coaching, so working through a limiting belief, but then also just some practical advice. Like I said, you know, hey, June can be a slow month sometimes. For some people, it's a really smoking hot month, and they'll be full up. But it really depends on who you're working with. And so I've just found June can lag a little bit. So that's a little bit of advice that I might give. But that doesn't prevent me or preclude me from then moving into the coaching because there was this big, fat, limiting belief.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you, Joanna, that I know a lot of very successful people who are not on Facebook at all, who do not market through social media at all because they hate it. Dixie St. John doesn't even have a website because she doesn't want one, and she always has she's on Facebook, but she doesn't even have a website. She doesn't even have, like, a, you know, Dixie@DixieSt.John email, and she doesn't have any problems filling her coaching practice.
Wow.
And so I think part of it is just recognizing that, yeah, social media is a great marketing platform if you like it. Chances are, your people, if you don't like it, your people won't like it because our ideal client is some former version of ourselves. And my hunch is, Joanna, is that your people are like you. They like to get out. They like to meet people face-to-face. They're probably social. They like to be in community. They like to talk. They like to connect. They like to be seen. They like to be heard. Social media, some of them may be on social media, but my guess is that they will appreciate you because you're authentically doing what feels right for you, and they will respond to that. I just know because I've worked with a lot of people around social media who are like, oh, social media, I hate it, but I got to do it. And I'm like, really? Why would you do something that makes you miserable? I actually had someone tell me she wanted me to coach her into using video. I'm like, why do you want to use video? I don't, but I think I should want it. It's like, well, that's not really how coaching works. So I'm not going to convince you to use video. So just recognize that marketing is just energy and you can manage it other ways. So anyway.
Jessica?
Yes.
May I just say this really quickly? It is amazing that you just said that because I was considering doing video from next week.
Well, do it if it feels amazing or if it gives
it
you that. Right, so don't do it. You know, and it's funny because I hear it over and over again. It's like Katrina, you knew that flutter that you get. You know when it's internally motivated.
Yeah.
Joanna just told us it was not internally motivated. It was externally motivated. So you're in a perfect position to tell her and help her use that guidance.
I'm writing it down. It's a note on my page now.
Yeah, you know, you know what it feels like for you. You can help her as well. But
right.
So I think ultimately for you, Katrina, is just don't tell yourself a story that you're in your blind spot. It's okay if you feel like you might be. Just it's like, oh, I'm in my blind spot. Proceed with caution. It doesn't mean you can't proceed.
Okay.
And the other is just working on your leadership energy, trusting yourself a little bit more. I jumped in at the end mostly because I just needed to wrap up so we could move on. So I apologize if that came off a little crunchy. But, you know, just give yourself give yourself the courtesy of trusting yourself and then leading from that place of trust.
Okay.
Because it happened. You were like, is it okay if we move on? Your client couldn't hear you, so you sort of quietly then moved to the next one, the next question. Mm-hmm. You can be loud or not loud. You can be soft and still have an authoritative voice, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do.
Because you got it in you, girl. You got it in you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Otherwise, I think you're lovely. You have a lovely energy. You're very, and once you kind of hit it, I think you did a great job with the work. You knew where to go. You knew where to go next. When you do a turnaround, you can ask, do you have a turnaround? And if they don't immediately, I have one. Is it okay if I share it with you? So you're totally, except you, it didn't sound like you had one either, so that's fine.
I didn't. No, that part just sort of fell out of my head. So.
No worries. Yeah. That's why I jumped in, is I wanted to help wrap us up. So it was no comment on you, my dear. It was just me being mindful of your time.
Yeah.
With that in mind, now being 8 minutes over, any questions, any final thoughts? Okay, the verdict on today's class, it wasn't horrible. Good.
That's right.
All right, guys, it's such a pleasure. I think I have you I know we have a break, but I think I have you next Monday. Yes, I do. Coaches, thank you so much. Clients, thank you so much. Joanna, thank you for jumping in. I know you had a little bit of internet issues, so I was really excited to hear from you. And I'll see you guys next week.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. Take care. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.